Amen. Grab your Bibles. Bless those ushers as they come around and welcome Pastor Mike this morning.
Thank you. Thanks, Pastor Jeff. I love you, man. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15. Just going to give you a heads up that I'm setting a timer that I want to be done in about 30 minutes at the most, because I want us to activate today's teaching by I'll tell you later. John chapter 15. I have been in the book of John primarily 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, or probably over a year. And I've read other passages, but I keep going back to these verses. And if you can see my Bible, it's primarily almost all underlined, and there's notes. And because I've discovered the value of staying in a portion of Scripture for a long period of time, that the more you stay in it, the more it can speak to your heart. And so we've been here before. This is not a new area, but I want to talk today about friendship with God. God wants to be your friend. I was raised in a church my whole life, so from the youngest to now 55 years old. My family, we served every week. We were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, worship practice. All our family's musical, so when you're musical, people have a tendency to say, hey, we like you. Right? Especially if you can play somewhat competently. And so we played and we sang and we were there every week, probably 3 to 4 days a week. We were serving at the church. And maybe your history is different. Maybe this is all kind of brand new to you. But in my upbringing, the thing that we were taught that was the highest pinnacle that we could receive, the highest compliment we could receive from God is this: well done, good and faithful servant. Okay? And it's from when Jesus tells the parables of some people who put some money to work and well done, good and faithful servant. And though that is true, it's just not complete. It's true. The highest compliment we can get is friend. Now, a friend still is a servant. A friend is still a disciple. Go and make disciples. So it's not either or, it's and both. Jesus in John 15 invites every one of us into a relationship with him in which he calls us friend. Can you imagine God of the universe? He's still God. He's still sovereign. He's still holy. He's still all these wonderful things, that this wonderful God invites us personally to friendship. And he shows us in John chapter 15 this invitation. And it's open to everyone. Every one of us can be that person or those people that are friends with God. So let me start my clock. John chapter 15. You don't get the introduction, by the way. That doesn't start with the 30 minutes. So that's just the rules. I didn't make them up. Well, actually, I did. I'll say verse 12. My command is this, chapter 15, verse 12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Now, that's important because in John chapter 13, and Luke affirms this, Peter says in John chapter 13, when Jesus said, I'm leaving, Peter says, where are you going? I'll lay down my life for you. And Luke says all the other disciples said the same thing, that they would lay down their lives for Jesus, right? And they really believed that. Yet, they had not reached that place of relationship yet where push came to shove, they would lay down their lives. We know at the crucifixion at that point that they all abandoned Jesus. They thought they had a relationship with God that was so tight that when if it came to laying down their life, we're in, but they weren't there yet. Now, we discover later on in their life that they actually do lay down their lives for the gospel and for each other. So Jesus, when he says this, no greater love than one lays down his life, he's not rebuking them. He's showing them the depth of relationship he's calling them to. A relationship that it's not about what I want. It's a relationship based on a friendship that is sacrificial. Okay. You guys okay? Okay? He says this in verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. You're my friends if you do what I command. So what does that mean? If you'll put your hand in John 15 and turn to the right to 1 John chapter 3, John, when he writes 1 John, it's kind of a synopsis of the Gospel of John. But in 1 John chapter 3, he's going to give us what does this look like. So is this friendship mean that I've got to do this? I can't do that. I got to go here. I got to come to church every week. I can't do this. I can't drink that. Is this the commands for friendship? Is he saying, I'm going to lay out all these rules, and if you obey all these rules, you can be my friend? No, not at all. Relationship with God has nothing to do about keeping rules, just like our relationships have nothing to do about keeping rules. That if you're going to have a friend, it's not because they kept rules. It's because you have joined join with them in a place of intimate friendship where you share your life with each other. So John shows us, 1 John chapter 3 shows us what this invitation looks like. Here's what it is. And he says this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. He says, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him." Verse 23, "And this is his command." This is it. This is the invitation. How do we come into this invitation to be friends with God? Here it is. "And this is his command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the spirit he gave us." So what we see is we see the Trinity. The Father saying, to be in this relationship with us, believe in my son. Now don't miss the simple beauty of this and the depth of this. Because at salvation, I come to this place where I say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe that I have sinned against him. So I am receiving his forgiveness and I accept his forgiveness. I believe that. But that's just the entry point to this idea of belief. The relationship with God, the friendship goes to where we, in every area of our life, we continue to trust, have confidence, and believe in the person of Jesus Christ and what he says about us. So for over 30 years now, I have been in this journey of relationship with Jesus Christ. I am still learning to trust, be persuaded, have faith, and believe in Jesus Christ. So it's not I got it, it's I'm getting it. So when it comes to health, do I believe? When it comes to my finances, do I believe? When it comes to my relationships, do I believe that the way in which he says, I love you so much, I'm going to show you how to make life work. Do I really believe that in every area of my life? That's the command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus. Now here's the second part. What I believe is what I live out. So my belief, my persuasion, my trust, our belief, our persuasion, our trust is demonstrated in the way in which we treat other people. So it's not just this supernatural, spiritual, I just believe in Jesus, I'm just me and him. It's not that. That when I have a faith in him, it's going to be reflective in the relationships around me. It's so very practical. It's so beautiful that the invitation to friendship is not just me and God alone. It's that my relationship of friendship is going to be impacted by the people around me. Because I'm going to act, I'm going to talk, I'm going to think, I'm going to speak like my friend does, Jesus. So Jesus said, my command, he reemphasized, is to love each other as I have loved you. Now go back with me, if you will, 1 John. Greater love has this than you are my friends if you do what I command. Now, would you keep your hand there in John? And will you go to Galatians chapter 5 with me, which is to the right in your Bible? Galatians chapter 5. Right now, I'm intentionally not putting everything up on the screen. I hope that doesn't frustrate you. Hopefully, you'll bring your tablet, your phone, or your own Bible and start finding where these places are in your own word. But Galatians chapter 5. Paul is writing, and let me just emphasize it. This is amazing what he writes. Paul is writing to people who are going back to rules and regulations. They're going back to be in a relationship with God. You've got to obey certain rules and regulations. It's of the Jews. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to obey the law. You can't eat certain food. And Paul says, hey, listen, that's not what this is about. And look what he says in Galatians 5, verse 6. Look what he says. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That if you were to summarize everything, these commands, here's what it is. It's our faith expressed, lived out, worked out in love. That my faith is going to be worked out with y'all. I know y'all from the South. Nothing else matters but our faith expressed in love. Now Jesus says, go back to John 15. You are my friends if you do what I command. Verse 15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my father, I have made known to you. Pause. This word friend is an interesting one. How many is on social media of any kind? Three people. Wow. We need to get up into the 80s, I think, a little bit here. How many has ever heard of Facebook? I mean, come on, guys. Help me a little bit. Just help me just a little bit. Just a little bit. Okay. And one of the questions that is asked me all the time, would you like to accept Billy Bob Joe Fred to be your friend? And I don't know who Billy Bob Joe Fred is, but I get requests for friends all the time. And a lot of times I go, no, because I don't know you, right? I don't want to follow. I don't know you. And I've got people back from high school that I've befriended. But you know what? We're not really sharing life together. In fact, I'm kind of off Facebook right now because everybody else but me is in a sunny place and having a great time, right? They got the pictures and there's a beach behind them and they're going, oh, and I'm like, I'm in cold. I don't want to see you having fun. Stop it. But here's what Jesus invites us to. Listen to this word friend. It's powerful. He says this. The word friend means this. Someone dearly loved, prized in a personal, intimate way. Trusted confidant, held in a dear, close, personal bond of affection. That Jesus is not saying, hey, follow me, befriend me, follow me. He's saying, here's what I want with you. Here's what I think of our relationship. I want an affectionate bond, close companion that I can share my heart with. You see, Jesus did not leave the kingdom assignment to disciples. Excuse me, pause. Let me go back. Jesus didn't leave the kingdom assignment to servants because a servant could be good and faithful. A servant could be responsible. A servant could do the right thing, but a servant doesn't know the heart of why this is going on. A friend does. So am I a servant? Absolutely. But I'm not a servant because I have roles and responsibilities to do. It's from a heart that says, I love you and you love me. And I want to be brought into this confidential, this relationship of intimacy with you. So that when I serve, it's not because I'm just discharging duties that I'm supposed to do. But I'm serving because we love each other as friends. And though I've got a lot of friends, I've got very few friends. Those people who they've earned the right to come into this place of my heart of confidence and trust. Think with me that the Lord of the universe is giving us all an invitation to come into this place of knowing his heart so intimately. But it doesn't happen just by us occasionally being in relationship with him, occasionally talking, occasionally doing this. This is not just a book that we learn what the right and wrong and do and don't. This is the book where we get to understand the heart of our friend. So what you see in the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you don't see him raising up servants. You see him sharing his heart so that these men will be willing at the end to give their lives for their friend. And that takes Christianity to a whole nother level. Because it's not about just being faithful and good and kind. Servants do that. That's great. That's awesome. But what is the motive behind it? The motive that Jesus invites us to is love. And at any point where you resist, and I resist, any point where the scripture says, this is how we are to live, and we resist, that is that place where God is inviting us to enlarge our relationship with him so that we come into this place of saying yes to our friend and obedience to his command. Mm. 24 years ago, my wife and I were young parents. Can you imagine 24 years ago? Wow, this beard didn't have any silver in it at all. The hair that I had, in fact, Margaret came up to me a couple weeks ago and she goes, I want to make sure that's real. And I told her, if there's going to be any fake hair on my head, it's not going on the face. 24 years ago, we were, let me go back just for a moment. Let me share you what's on the Father's heart all the time. This is what's on a friend's heart for us. 24 years ago, we were young parents. Amy, our daughter who sang, he was about 7. Our son Josh played the drums. He was about 4. Caleb, our youngest, who's in Rathdrum, he was about 1.5 years. And my wife and I had gone through a very difficult, difficult time in a church where we had to leave the church, not because of anything wrong, but because of political maneuvering from other people. We had to leave the church. And so our social gatherings were gone. Our friends were gone. Our kids, their friends were gone. We didn't have a church home. And also I had to find a job. It was very chaotic time of life. And during this time, a friend of ours who was a children's pastor in a neighboring town said, Mike, would you come and be the chaplain for our kids camp? We got junior hires that are going to be the camp counselors. Would you run the junior high kids camp and bring your kids with you? So Amy and Josh, they can come with us. And so Deb, we had 3 young kids. Caleb was 1.5 years. So Deb went to go stay with her folks, and Amy and Josh, we went up to this camp. And it was a Thursday night, Friday, Saturday. And so we got there, and Josh was, because he was young, we would hang out when I wasn't doing the chaplain things. Amy were with the kids' programs. And then Friday night, I was doing a chaplaincy with the kids and the junior high kids. And I heard a ruckus, and I heard this noise, and the camp director came running up into the cabin where I was at with the junior hires. And he said these words. He said, "Everything's okay. Your son is missing. Keep going." Have you ever gone to a movie theater, and before the movie starts, they show you the sound system, and it goes, right? That's how those words hit me. Everything's okay. Your son is missing. Keep going. Keep doing your chaplaincy thing. Heck no. Now, this is a church. I didn't say heck, okay? Forgive me for that, but there was a lot of emotion attached to that. I run outside. I go, "What's going on?" And I ran to the guy who was supposed to be watching Josh. He was a big man. He was over 6'3", probably about 400 pounds, big man. And I went up to him and I said, "Where's my son? You're supposed to take care of my son. Where's my son?" And he kind of casually said, "Well, he wanted to come where you're at. So I told him your dad's in that direction." And there was no, "Man, I'm sorry, please forgive me, can I help?" There was nothing. There was kind of like it was a four-year-old's fault. And I might need some deliverance still from that right now, right? So how long has he been gone? No one knows. And Josh, who at the time, and I think still some was, and he knows I was going to share this about him. At 4 years old, he was very literal. So the guy didn't say he's in that cabin. He said he's in that direction. So Josh, who was very literal, started walking in that direction until he walked outside of camp. Because dad is in that direction. And he just kept walking and kept walking and kept walking. I am going berserk in my, you know, think about it. And if you've ever gone through that where you turn and you're at a store and you're looking and your kids and you're trying to find them, you know that clutch? Not only that clutch, but that grasp. You know, you're going, I'm sorry. I'm yelling, "Josh!" And there's about 150 kids that were at the camp. So you can't like, "Okay, let's find Josh." You'd have 150 lost kids, right? So what do you do? And during that time, the milk cartons were coming out with the faces of the kids. Have you seen me? I have these images going through my head. I got this thought of, how am I going to call my wife and say, "Hey, I'm bringing one out of two home," right? Right? And if you've gone through this and it wasn't good, I want to be very sensitive to you, but there was a lot of fear and terror and anger, every emotion, every gamut of emotion I was feeling at the exact same time. I'm so angry at this man for not taking care of my son. I'm so fearful. Where is my son at? I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, Josh, where are you? And he's not coming back. It's starting to get dark. And I'm thinking, what do you do? What, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So a few weeks ago, Josh and I were traveling together. I said, "Josh, do you remember this?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, "Tell me your side of it." And he said, "Yeah, Dad." He goes, "I just knew my dad was in this direction. And if I kept walking in that direction, I'd find my dad." And so he's walking in that direction. He comes to a campfire and he goes, "There's my dad." Because where there's fire, there's people. So he walks up to the campfire and he realizes, "You're not my dad." It's a young couple. And Josh, who was painfully shy, went up to them. I don't know how in the world he did this, but he told them, "I'm lost." And he remembered the name of the camp to go back. I don't know what the name of the camp was. He went back to the camp. So this is what's going on. A young man with a flashlight is bringing my son back. I am freaking out and I'm yelling, I'm screaming, Josh, where are you? I don't know if we should call the police. I don't know what we're supposed to do. And I am crying. I am angry. I have every emotion. Can you feel like you guys get what I'm talking about? Do you get it? Right? It's dark, and I see this flashlight bopping up and down, and I turn, and here's this man bringing my son home. I said, "Josh, what did I do?" I just asked him recently. He said, "Dad, you were crying and laughing, and you were hugging me, right? Because my son came home, and he's got a beautiful bride now as well. Yay." You know what my friend's heart is? In John chapter 4, the disciples went to go get some food for Jesus. They were serving him. And they come back and Jesus said, "Listen, I've got food you have no knowledge about." And the disciples are going, "Did somebody bring Jesus some food? Who would do that? That's our job." And Jesus said, "My food of my Father." Remember, he's teaching them friendship, not servanthood. He's teaching them his heart. He's not leaving robotic men who just do what they're supposed to do. He's teaching them his heart. And he says this, my food is to do the will of my Father. And then he says this, as a crowd of people where the disciples had just bought food from, started walking down a path, Jesus says to them, open your eyes. The fields are wide unto harvest. The disciples who did not see the very people they were having contact with, didn't even acknowledge them, in fact, probably hated them deeply, didn't recognize these were people worthy of salvation. Jesus, who says, I'm no longer call you servant, I call you friend, because I am letting you know what my Father showed me, I'm telling you. He's telling them, open your eyes, the fields are wide unto harvest. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus sees a crowd of people and he has compassion on them. And he turns to his disciples and again he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. So dear ones, do you know what is on our friend's heart right now? We don't even have to ask. He's already showed us. What is on our friend's heart is this. There are people we come in contact with all the time who don't know the love of our Father. And you and I have the flashlight to say, I can show you the way to the Father you're looking for. My son was looking for his dad. And to this day, I believe the cry of every human heart is, I want to be rejoined to the fellowship with my heavenly Father. So what do they look for? They look in different ways to try to find it. They find it through relationships, through work, through money, through things. They're trying to find that void that says, something's missing in me. What is it? Maybe if it's this or it's that, or they read different philosophies or read different kind of books and someone says, this is how life is fulfilled. Just do this. And then they do it and they go, is that it? Because the Father has put within us this thing that says, I want to be with my dad. And though we don't save anyone, we all got the flashlight. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So what we do is we point people back to the Father. How do we do this? By love. When we open our eyes, we open our heart. When we see what the Father sees, when we hear what the Father's heart is, our friend, the Father goes, I'm showing you my heart. I'm showing you my passion. You're my friends if you do what I command. You are not just my servants, you're my friends. So I'm going to bring you into my confidence. I'm going to bring you into this place of trust. My heart is for people that will say, I got a flashlight and I'll just point you to the Father. I'll bring you back to dad. And dear ones, in Luke 15, Jesus tells three parables. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. In the first two, Jesus said, the rejoicing that takes place when the person whose sheep is found and whose coin is found, there is such rejoicing in heaven that the lost was found. And I'm going to say something. I've been in church a long time. I am older now. I have been in services where God's reality was so strong. In fact, one time, I was on the floor. His presence was so thick, and I was just weeping in his presence that I rubbed a strawberry on my cheek. I got a carpet burn on my cheek because his presence was so strong. I love it. I want more of his presence. Can you say amen with me on that, right? But I'm going to tell you something. I have never rejoiced ever like when my son came home. The rejoicing I felt touched every emotion and every fiber of my being as my son came home. And Jesus wants us to experience as friends a rejoicing that is not because we had a good service alone, but because heaven is joining with us because someone has come back to the Father. That's why we exist. This is why we are here. Everything else is superfluous. Maybe it's important, maybe it is, but without this component, and I say it this boldly, nothing else matters. So I got 1 minute and 59 seconds. My heart, I want the heart of my friend. I know what it's like to have a son that's lost, was found. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, here's why I came. Son of man came to seek and to save those who are lost. And I have been in church a long time. 50 years I've been in church. I've seen a lot of stuff come and go. I've seen a lot of fads. I've seen a lot of this. This is the next big thing. I've seen a lot of stuff happen. And okay, they were good for their time. And I've heard a lot of missionaries and I've heard a lot of pastors talk, and I being one of them. And I have yet to hear a pastor or a missionary say these words. You know, where I serve, it is so easy to have people get saved. It's amazing. It's easy. I don't know what's the problem. I have heard time and time again this story. Where I serve, it's dark. It's hard. It's difficult. The gospel's making headway. I've heard that time and time again. But Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful and it's ready. So I'm going to go with what Jesus said. That this valley that has never known revival, right? We live in a dark valley. We live in a place where people don't care about the gospel. The Northwest is only small, not evangelized at all. Okay, maybe it's this. God is looking for laborers who will go. Maybe the issue is not it's a dark place. It always is, unless you're in Bethel, Reading. Maybe it's this. God is saying, I need laborers who will have my heart because it's ready. People are ready to come home to the Father. So when you go and buy lunch today, open your eyes. Maybe the Father wants you to share his love with that person. As you go around your neighborhood, your school, your work, open your eyes. Father, and this has been my prayer now for a number of months. As I go out today, my eyes are open. Is there someone who needs to be loved? Is there someone who needs to know my dad? I'll turn on my flashlight. And what does that look like? Hey, can I pray for you today? Hey, God bless you today. It could be a random act of kindness. It could just be paying attention. It could be present. It could be just this ability of, hey, I'm going to show you the love of the Father because that's what's on my friend's heart. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah. Would you stand with me? Here's the question. Here's the questions. Here's the activation. Jesus has given us all an invitation to be his friend, a confidant. I'm going to spend the rest of my life becoming his friend. I'm learning. It's not like I got it. I'm getting it. It's not, oh, I'm his friend. We're. It's not that. It is, I'm learning his heart. And the closer I know his heart, the more it reflects the way in which we love people. How many would join with me and say, yeah, I want to accept that invitation to whatever degree, to a greater measure. I want to be his friend. Secondly, how many of us just say, I need my eyes open a little bit, that I get so caught up in the day-to-day, that I get so caught up in just dealing with people, I don't see them as lost sons and daughters who need someone with a flashlight, someone who's just a kind word. Jesus said, just be kind. I was going to try to turn on my flashlight, but I thought that would be cool, but I don't know how to operate this thing. So it's like, man, it took away all the effect. Yay! Now, with all the lights on, it doesn't do anything, right? It's like, so what? But when we leave this place, there are people who are lost. You're not saying, you're going, whether they accept him or not, it's not our call. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. Our role is to be a flashlight by loving people. So my prayer for 2019 is that all of us shine really bright. And all of us, our eyes are open. And all of us can say, hey, guess what? 3 people came to the Father this week. I just kind of pointed that direction. Your dad's this direction. You'll find him right here. Come on. Let's go. I'll bring you with you. And then what happens afterwards? Well, let me teach you about my dad. Let me just teach you about him. Oh, man, he is awesome, my dad is. Can I tell you how much he loves you? Can I tell you how awesome what he says about you? Because my dad thinks you're pretty cool. That's my prayer for 2019, is that every one of us by the end of the year can say, I brought at least one person to my dad. Just one. How many of you agree with me? Just one. Just one person. Just one. Right? Just put one finger up. Just one finger. Okay? You might have like 25. I don't, but just one finger. Would you just... Father, would you, Lord, you said, here's the invitation. If you believe in me and you love each other, you're my friends. And Lord, there's a depth of friendship that you're developing in all of our hearts so that our hearts beat with what your heart beats for. And Lord, I've been a friend for so long where I've wanted you just to beat your heart according to what I wanted. And my prayers would be, oh God, do this for me and do this for me and do this for me. Thank you. Because you're my friend, you've done so many wonderful things. But now my heart is, I want to do for you, not to earn your favor, not to earn your love, but because you're my friend. I want to know what's on your heart. And Lord, thank you that you make it clear in your word that what's on your heart, people, and that the reason we exist as a church is to be a flashlight for children who are looking for their dad. And those kids might be 50 or 60 years old, they're still your kids. Lord, would you put upon our hearts, would you open our eyes? I've got my one finger up, Lord, that before 2019 is over, I just, at least one person, I can point the flashlight to my dad and say, come on, I'll take it to him. And Lord, I don't have to have all the answers because love covers a lot. And I pray that in this church, these people, that we would all say at least one, at least one. We're not the Savior, you are. We're the flashlight. Jesus, you told us the fields are white under harvest. Pray, Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers. So Lord, we take you at your word. Send out laborers, Lord. Send people, send us. Let us be the answer to your prayer. But Lord, there are people that need to know your love. Send us. And that might be in our very homes. That may be in our neighborhood. That might be in our job. It might be in our schools. Lord, that we would just have eyes to see and we look at people differently because we have your heart, because you call us friends. In the name of Jesus, for your glory and honor. Would you agree with me by saying yes and amen? If you don't know Jesus Christ, you know what? This flashlight doesn't have any guilt or shame or condemnation with it. This doesn't have like, you're just a bad person. This light goes, let me tell you about the love of my Father. That's all it does. And if you want to know this love, there's a bunch of people who got a flashlight that would love to just tell you about God's love for you. So say with me, give me one. Say, give me one.
Give me one.
In Jesus' name, amen.